Welcome back to the Food Trainers Podcast. Today's topic is a biggie. We're talking all things teen nutrition. We'll cover how we work with teens, which is our Food Trainers Junior program, and the crucial ingredients that teens need during their growing years.
Yeah, and to be honest, we had this topic in the pipeline pre the recent Weight Watchers news, but we bumped it up a couple of episodes. And in case you missed it, Weight Watchers, which now calls itself WW, which is is weird.
Like your Weight Watchers.
They launched an app called Curbo, which is for kids as young as 8 years old to lose weight.
There's just so many issues with this. I don't even know where to start.
I would maybe start on the website with the before and after weight loss photos of eight-year-olds. But
yeah, and I think as I was like going through the details and the press surrounding this, like my biggest issue is the deception. So don't say things like the goal is to increase confidence and then have kids calorie counting. It's the same thing as the parents, and we'll get into this a little bit, who say like, I just want my kid to be healthy, when there's like this hidden agenda of weight loss. You know, the kids are just too smart to see through that. And we at Food Trainers, we don't see kids younger than 13 with good reason. We find that if there's an inquiry from a parent with a kid younger than that, it's just better to work with the parents on family food habits. And even the Weight Watchers, their press said that this is, you know, this is meant to be like a family affair the app is meant to be a family affair, but it's like being used on like a personal device. Like you don't like sit with your phone with your family.
No.
And then talk about it. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. And so it's really interesting in sessions, even for adults, we always ask, when did you start thinking about food or your weight? And more often than not, it stems back to these teen years. So the teen sort of age group is really this pivotal stage where you can create really healthy eating habits, or you can create really unhealthy eating habits that take years and years and therapy and nutritionists, you know, down the road to undo. It's also a time when our brains and bodies are still developing, hormones are happening, we're seeing tons of changes. So there's just a lot happening physically.
Yeah. And that question that we ask about, when did you first start thinking about food? Like people don't skip a beat. They're like, I remember blah, blah,
day.
This person, my mother said,
yeah.
You know, it stays, it sticks. So let's read maybe one of the Insta messages we got and we can use that as a jumping off point.
Right.
So the question was, can you do a podcast on teens and nutrition? Sure, we can. especially on educating teen girls without making it about being thin or being good or bad, etc. Trying to teach my own teen about fueling herself and food and mood, energy, sleep, brain function, etc. So definitely a great question. It sort of speaks to what a lot of parents are thinking. As first for me, as a mom of teen boys, they have stuff too. So I think that we want to think about our messaging to them as well. And I think a little bit just about like from our end, and this is not in any way about the person who posed this question, but there tend to be, Carolyn and I would say there's two types of parents that we hear from. And we're joking just because it's so common, but you know, this is definitely a serious topic. So I would say at least like 50% of the inquiries about us working with teens or kids start with, you know, sort of the disclaimer, I'm totally not the type of parent who obsesses about this, et cetera. Yes, you are. I just want my child to feel good. So I think that, you know, again, this is a family affair, was what we were saying before. And second, I think some parents like see this like piano lessons or just, you know, sort of another thing that you outsource. And it's just, this isn't just something that you can send kids to for us and we solve it. So I think before you pursue anything for your kids in terms of nutrition, or we really have to take a look at our own histories, our own egos. What are our kids' sizes? You know, if your child is putting on weight before puberty, which they all do pretty much, like why does that upset you? How do you come to the table? It's, you know, none of us want to look in the mirror, but we probably all need to. An acquaintance really said to me recently, you know, it doesn't matter to me, but teen X has, you know, gained so much weight, to which I said, like, of course it matters to you.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's that's not the easy part of it, but that's where a lot of this is coming from.
Yeah, there's the parental huge piece. And then there's also social media. Kids are now getting more input than ever from social media, especially edited pictures. So not even real photos of and getting input of what they think they should look like, what's beautiful, what's hot, the perfect selfie angle. Of course, none of this is new news if you're listening to this, but it's big news as research catches up and confirms this is causing more negative body image issues than ever.
Yeah. I mean, like when I was growing up, it was like a picture a year.
Totally.
Like, it was like sometimes a school picture.
I know. I think we're both fourth children. So there are very, very few childhood photos.
Five pictures from your formative years. Okay. That covers it. Yeah.
Now it's like one per hour. And yeah. That's at a
school. No, I was joking to Mark, my husband, the other day that like our kids' phone, especially for one of the kids, is like a mirror.
Oh, wow.
Like it's constantly just to see what's happening. But
that's so funny. But listen to these stats. This is crazy. Over 80% of 10-year-olds are afraid of being fat. And 53% of 13-year-old American girls are already unhappy with their bodies. This number actually grows to 78% of girls being unhappy with their bodies by the time they reach age 17. And you might remember from our body image podcast that we don't age out of this. Mm-mm. Being unhappy with our bodies. It only continues into adulthood. So when a parent reaches out about having their teen come in, my first question always, always, always is, does the teen want to come in themselves or is this for the parent? And we try to suss this out ahead of time so that, you know, it will actually work.
Mm-hmm. And I think as a parent, it's hard. I think back to the, you have to put your oxygen mask on first. Like, I think you can also translate into, we kind of have to deal with and solve our body stuff first. And it's not, we're talking about mothers. It's not just mothers, but
no.
Lots
are tiger dads out there too. We jokingly call them tiger moms.
100%.
Yeah, it's intense. And so teens are going to have acne, their bodies are changing, and they really don't need to be more self-aware or self-critical at this point than they already are. And so the first thing, this may be obvious, but really focusing on your teen as a whole person. They're smart, they're funny, they're creative, they're strong, not just focusing on the physical stuff. Mm-hmm. And so one tip we give to parents is to really emphasize the compliments, particularly the non-body related compliments.
Absolutely. And I think we're sort of looking at our kids, are they good at this or bad at this, bad at that, but we forget just to a little bit of positive reinforcement for all of us.
Yeah.
And I think share your journey. If you've struggled with your weight, you can discuss that with your kids. Like, I think that people are so worried about bad messaging that they, you know, don't share any of it with their children. They pick up on it anyway. So we all can recall, you know, our teenage insecurities. Were you a father who was uncomfortable taking your shirt off? Did you, you know, sort of hate your hair or obsess about your weight or a certain body part? I think kids, you know, certainly parents aren't perfect, but they also like to hear about their parent journey rather than seeing us as these like fully formed beings. I shared with my kids recently that when Dad and I went on our first vacation, there was no gym. There was like this little tiny, I don't even know if it was a driveway or a track, but it was small. And Mark jokes that he looked out the hotel room and I was like running around it like 100 times and like exercise. You know, I was nuts. A little less nuts now, but like I think the kids like to know that, you know, they're nuts, you were nuts.
Yeah.
And you can, you know, have a dialogue about that. But also, you know, just look at your kids for signs. Are they taking a really long time to get dressed in the morning or going through many clothing changes? Is clothing shopping a really uncomfortable experience? Are they constantly like tugging at their clothes or fixing their hair or anything like that? You know, I think there's a danger about talking too much about size and weight, but there's also a real danger in ignoring it.
Yeah, absolutely. And to be honest, many of the teens we see in our office, you know, this is New York City, I know, but they are so incredibly diet and nutrition savvy. It always shocks me. And so I'll see people as young as 14, you know, coming in and having and just knowing a ton. Many of them eat at restaurants on their own and really a free range over their food at a young age. So they might even come in limiting carbs or, God forbid, eating fiber crackers, which Lauren had some great comments on for Prevention Magazine recently. So teens, at least the teens we see, are more than aware of mm-hmm. food stuff, of dieting, of weight, and all of that.
They're already getting the messaging.
Yeah, absolutely. So the best strategy really to us, or one of the best strategies, is focus on what they should be eating more of. So always focusing on eating more veggies. They can absolutely have the pizza or the pasta or the smoothie or whatever, but how can we add in some sort of greens in there, some sort of good protein, focusing on boosting water, all of the great sort of eat more items.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think the mom who asked the question, focusing on function is sort of, as long as it's not code for like, you know, this helps your brain, hint, hint, you know, like kids know if you're sort of really trying to talk about the weight without talking about weight. But I think a great teen topic, foods that are good for your skin, mm-hmm. foods that are good for immunity. My son just had a summer cold and I went, there's a local juice shop. They have these Juice Generation. They have these Defender shots, which have oil of oregano and ginger and cayenne. You know, I was determined he was starting soccer to have him feel better. He almost threw up.
Yeah, I can confirm that.
But Carolyn came over after. But it was, I still think like planting the seed that like, maybe not, but like, the, you know, you're feeling sick. These are certain things that you should do, foods that are good for concentration. You know, I think that that's a great way to appeal to them.
Absolutely. It's so helpful. And many of the teens I see don't get a lot of great nutrition during the day.
Right.
They either don't like the school food or don't even have lunch, period. It's really mind-blowing what their schedules are like. And so we do have lists for these kids of backpack snacks, which can fill in the blanks. And of course, it depends if schools are nut-free. We're seeing mm-hmm. a lot of that now. But we love, a few brands we love are like the Nuts Plus Nuts, almonds, and cashews we have in stock in our shop. So, so, so good. Grass-fed jerky, Yes Bars, Lark Ellen granola over some Greek yogurt or Siggy's. Also love Health Warrior chia bars for a little pick-me-up. The Go-Go squeezes, mm-hmm. Simple Mills crackers. Sorry, I'm rattling all of these up.
I know, I'm getting hungry.
So good. Kerrygold or Organic Valley single cheeses are great. Of course, here we do want to be careful with quality. And go organic for dairy because of the hormones that are in meats and are used in meats and dairies. That can actually really impact a lot of hormones in teens and also in adults too. Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe let's hit on like some of the specific nutrients for teens. Yeah. So vitamin D is an important one. It's actually an important one to supplement unless you have like a crazy milk drinker, which is mm-hmm. dairy is another topic, but like 1,000 international units a day. It's crucial for hormone health, immunity, and a study from the Journal of Nutrition just came our way today, talking about sort of a lot of the, you know, sort of mood and acting out or rebellious behaviors being compounded by low vitamin D in teens.
Yeah.
We'll post that to the show notes. Omega-3s. So I semi-torture my kids with like a fish taco night or salmon. Again, I just think it's like so, so important. Fish, chia seeds, hemp seeds are great to put in kids' smoothies. Very important for cognition. Iron, important, you know, we think of it in terms of girls when they're starting to get their period, but important for growth for both boys and girls. And we don't really love iron supplements. So legumes are a great way to go. We love a pasta called Banza pasta. It's a chickpea pasta. Good for families loaded with nutrition.
Yeah, like, I love that too. I know. Pseudo adult.
All of these things are good for all. But peanut butter, which is also technically a bean. We love like the packets. There's a great company called Wild Friends. Again, you always want to pick an organic brand. If you do want a multivitamin for your kids, especially if they're super picky eaters, Pure Encapsulations makes it a Junior Nutrients. And Smarty Pants is another great company. They do gummies with omega-3s and things of that. If you don't have a pill swallower, a probiotic supplement is, and probiotic foods are good for kids as well.
Yeah, absolutely. A last little note on this thing too is I see so many teens that are overscheduled and stressed.
Mm-hmm. Really hard to avoid.
Yeah, it is. But also like the overscheduling is just insane. And it's really something to consider if weight seems to be suffering too. I have one teen specifically I can think of who sneaks snacks into his bedroom at night and it's become a real big problem. But he's also completely overscheduled. Like every minute of his day is he's supposed to be somewhere and he goes to sleep at 2 a.m. So this stuff is all completely related and just something to keep in mind to look at the bigger picture than just the food stuff.
Yeah. And you don't want to be like popping vitamins if your kid's not sleeping.
Yeah.
Which is a biggie.
Yeah. And actually on that note though, I have to say, Lauren, you specifically do an amazing job with your kids who seem so normal around food. And also they're like interested in healthy food. They always come in and sample our recipe testing. But so I'm curious, can you talk a little bit about how they eat, what you did, and actual advice for parents?
Oh my God, I totally don't think I'm like the, you know, sort of poster child for... And what's funny is that I have parents that come in and they're like, definitely more neurotic than I am about my kids and food. And yet I do this for a living.
I think that's what's amazing is that you're not, there isn't a neuroses about it. They will eat, I know they'll eat, you know, really good. They'll eat cookies, but they'll also eat.
Yeah. I mean, I think the best thing, and I think this is just how I was brought up too, is just home cooking. Mm-hmm. So again, what they eat during their day, what they don't eat during their day, they're going to come home. And like, and I really am a big believer in, you know, my kids, if we're having like salmon, broccoli, and, you know, let's say rice are definitely going to be the most interested in the rice. Mm-hmm. But it's there and it's in front of them. And maybe they'll have a spear or maybe they'll have two. So I think it can be a little bit demoralizing when parents feel like I'm preparing this and they're not necessarily eating it. But I do think there's a value in it just like being there. This is what a dinner looks like. And them seeing you eat it, of course. Mm-hmm. So I think it's like that, you know, like Field of Dreams. Like if you build it, they will come. Like if you serve it, they will eat it. And even if they don't eat it then, they'll eat it. You know, you'd be surprised. They'll eat it when they leave home, et cetera. But I'm far more concerned with my kids like getting the good stuff in than I am with if they go, you know, sort of for ice cream with their friends, et cetera. I think that that's kind of like normal teen behavior. But you control, if you're a parent listening to this, what's in your house. So we have a pantry, we have snacks, but they're snacks that I choose. They're not food shopping. You know, when they go to Duane Reade, they can get that other stuff. But the other thing is just keeping it in accessible forms too. So you could have like a fruit bowl, but you could also have like berries that are already washed and veggies that are already cut. They're most, you know, teens and kids are lazy with few exceptions when it comes to food. So I think, again, some of it is just common sense. Some of it is just you can control the food environment in your house. And I think that even if you don't think it's making a difference for them, it is. So do you want, maybe like this time of year, do you want to touch on, I know there's like so many kids getting dropped off at college this week.
Yeah.
Do you want to maybe touch on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So college is really, so many teens first jump into total food freedom. For the first time ever, all your food choices are up to you personally. I love this age group so much, which might be because I gained the freshman 15 like times two. But it was really important for me and how I got into nutrition too. So this is a great opportunity for your teen to work with a nutritionist if it's possible, come up with a personalized and realistic plan and to outsource. And so really it sometimes or oftentimes I think falls on deaf ears coming from an actual parent or family.
A million percent.
Yeah. So I think really, really think about outsourcing if you're concerned. And I'm sorry, but if you don't already know, your kid is likely going to drink at college. So we really will think a lot about how can we manage that better and maybe even give some guidelines to make things a lot safer. Something we talk about with all college students is what to eat before, during, after drinking, and like including eating a real dinner is so important and something, I don't know, I definitely skipped in college myself. So we also will be having a new student little snack pack available for you to send your kids to college or high school kids too that we're excited about.
Yeah. And I think just like one thing that came to mind that we maybe left out is just watch mixed messages.
Such a good point.
So I think that, you know, we were just talking about this with some colleagues and there was, you know, sort of a story of a mom who was like very conscious of like her pubescent kids gaining weight and then was stocking the house with like the most unhealthy thing. So we're all guilty of it. It's sort of like, you know, don't eat so much. Oh, you're not eating enough, you know, that kind of thing. But be careful because again, they're savvy. They pick up on everything. So if you are concerned about your child's or your teen's weight, look at what's in the house. You want to have like, you know, you don't want to have one thing for one child and another, you know, sort of mixed messages.
Oh, that's a great point. Yeah. Any final thoughts?
No, I mean, I think it's a tough one, you know, and I think, you know, I don't like the Weight Watchers app. I think making, you know, sort of, it's just not something that I feel like kids of certain ages
should even be aware of.
Yeah. And I think it's like the opposite. Like we try to make adult weight loss fun. And I think it's almost dangerous to make it like fun in an app for a kid. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do think that it's good dialogue. And I also think that, you know, what we see is this hyper concern about creating an eating disorder to the extent where conversations aren't being had that should be had.
Yeah. And one last thing too, a lot of times kids, mentioned this briefly earlier, a lot of times kids will gain weight around puberty and then they stretch out too. So it's not always a long-term thing. And bodies should change. They're supposed to change. This is actually a really important part of sort of growing up. So a lot of times when people come back in, you know, come into our office, even in their 20s, and they compare themselves to a 15-year-old weight
right.
or whatever, it's just like totally unrealistic.
And it's not a reflection of you as a parent. You know, I think it's so hard to like pull our egos out of things. But if your child is on the soccer field and has like a little bit of extra weight, nobody's, you know, sort of judging you for it. And if they are, they're crazy. So I think, again, if you really sort of want what's best for your children, having the conversations that you need to have, giving them the you know, sort of tools that they need without being critical and judgmental.
Yeah, keeping food a fun, safe place, not a stressful place meal-wise. Cool. All right. Subscribe, rate, all the things. Thank you for listening and let us know your thoughts on this. It's a really, really great topic and we would love to hear from you. Bye.